Okay, December 30th, 2019. Tonight's topic is scotch aged in sherry casks. Now, I am not from the drinkers. I think I have a 12-year-old bottle of scotch sitting in my cabinet. My younger son is 20, probably bought it as Bris. So I have a 32-year-old bottle of scotch sitting in my cabinet over there. It would take me that many years to finish it off. And it's not me, it's only other people would finish that off. So, but it was a topic that I guess I saw an article, and most of the sources are coming from an article written by a Rabbi Akiva Niehaus. He was a kollel in Chicago, and he wrote over 100-page article on this topic, which many people quote. Who else had an article? It's in Volume 5 of Rabbi Bleich's Contemporary Halacha, and then there's a guy who writes Headlines. I forget his name. Headlines 2, and so he has an article about that too. So those were the sources that I looked at, but I would recommend the first one if anybody's more interested in that topic. So the way the concern would be, well, what's the concern? So let's look at source one. Source one tells us that there's such a concept not only of yayin nesech, wine, which non-Jew uses for avodah zarah, which is also bahana'ah, but the chachamim also will gazru al stam yenam, just regular wine, mishum b'nosehen. That in terms of chasnus and intermarriage and socializing, they were, even if the wine was not used for, or we were not, you know, thinking about that they were using it nowadays for avodah zarah, still wine of a non-Jew is usher because of stam yenam. There is another concept in halacha in source 2, which mentions that kavush is like mavushal. Normally, if two things are, in order to transfer taste from one object to another, we need heat. If just something cold, not kosher, touches my kosher piece of meat, I can just wash it off. But if it falls in and there's heat, then there's a transference of taste. But there is such a time where there is transference of taste even without heat, and that's called kavush. If two items are soaking in each other for 24 hours, then there is a transference of taste. So what we're worried about, what? Liquid, a liquid, right, if it has to be soaking. I think it has to be soaking. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be salted and broiled. If I had a kosher piece of meat, you know, just soaking in my refrigerator in non-kosher gravy for 24 hours, then the non-kosher would infuse into the meat. Here we have the when they make some scotch, what they discovered, I guess in the history of scotch, it went through it in the article, is that they had they wanted to age scotch for, it has to be a minimum of 3 years. Usually it's about 8 years as a minimum, and they needed barrels. So what happened was is that there were these barrels of wine that were which were barreled up in Spain, and they were brought down, shipped down, I think, to England to be bottled. The wine was then put into bottles and distributed. So the people in England had these empty sherry casks around, and the Scotch people needed casks to put to age their scotch in, so they got it very cheaply because there were these unused, there were these used casks. So let me borrow your used cask, and it was a win-win. And then it turned out that
the casks were wine casks.
They were wine casks, right. And they aged the scotch into wine casks. Then it turned out later in, I think it was in the 90s or the 70s, what happened was that the people in Spain were bottling now, they weren't sending their wine down to England to be bottled, they were bottling their wine in Spain. So therefore, you know, there was no there were no more empty casks in England for the for the people in Scotland to buy and use. So they started using regular wooden casks. And then people noticed that there was a different flavor. So, and then they realized that there's some benefit to actually aging the Scotch in casks that have already had wine aged in them previously. So, so here you're going to take wine sits in the cask for more than 24 hours, of course, and the wine, the stam yenom, the blios of the stam yenom, go into the wooden casks. Now, so you have blios of an infusion of taste of wine into these casks. Now you're going to put scotch in these casks, and the scotch is going to sit there for more than 24 hours. These blios are then going to come out of the walls of the casks and infuse it into the scotch, and therefore you're going to have scotch, which is infused of taste of stam yenom, and that's the problem that we're dealing with tonight. So the next two sources.
It's only to rabbanon to begin with. Even the yayin itself is only to rabbanon.
Correct. So right. So they're saying, I guess there was that concept. So number three, maybe wanted to say, maybe there's a difference, like you wanted to say. Maybe there is a concept of, you know, tam ki ikor, and we can't, you know, the tam of an isur is also asur. But then the Mishnah's halachos. And every time you see the English here, it's quoted from this Rabbi Niehaus article. So he wanted to say that Rav Menashe Klein, who's the Ungver Rav, and I looked on Google, he was in liberated from Buchenwald along with Rabbi Lau, and he was settled in Brooklyn, and he ran with the Kloisenberger, he ran the yeshiva of over there, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote this Mishnah Halacha. So he came up with the idea that maybe, like you said, it's only wine because of chasnus that they asered, but maybe blios of the wine, maybe that doesn't, it wasn't a problem. But he said that other poskim, it's a very big chiddush, and the other poskim haven't picked up on that chiddush. But someone else again will raise a possibility. Oh, maybe it's not a problem. Number four says, because we know that if once blios go into a kli, we know that after 24 hours. If you cook something, it's no same time lifgam, and we know that if the taste that's reinfused is detrimental, that's not asur. So maybe, and of course, so it's not the day that they wiped out the sherry they put in. You know, there's a day that the cask sat empty. So even though there's blios of wine in the cask, it's been more than 24 hours. So any reinfused blios of the wine into the scotch, which should be no same time lefkam, according to the rules that we know, and it should be mutter. But source four, Shishach quotes, that's true for any other blios, but not wine. Wine, even after 24 hours, their blios are lishvach.
The fact that they went to go get these casks, yes, purposely, yeah, you can't call it no same time
and lishvach. Correct. So that's exactly also with... That's also 5 and 6. That's also 5 and 6. Because you might think, source 5 says there might be a Gemara that will answer up our question. Our whole question is, if we're aging scotch and in these casks that once had sherry in it, and we're afraid that we're worried about the blios of the sherry coming out, and now we're going to drink the scotch which has blios, now the time of Yayin Nesech, and that's a problem. But look, isn't there a Gemara that's very similar? Source 5, Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lama Gimel, Ravina, Shari Leila Rav Chia, Braid Rav Yisak, Lemei Rav Beis Shichra. Ravina permitted Rav Chia to store beer in wine caskets of non-Jews, and so it'll be there for more than 24 hours, and so we see that we're not worried about the stam yenom, the blios of stam yenom coming and going into the beer, and it should, so therefore we shouldn't worry that it goes into the scotch. So, but how the Torah explains that Gemara and why it's going to not really help us in our case is afa pisha asalit in behem yai. Oh, but he didn't permit Rav Chia to put wine in the wine barrels, but he allowed him to put beer in the wine barrels. And the reason was, is afal pishar solitain b'yayin b'chlishin eshrab ha-nachwi b'yayin, right? Mutalitain b'mayim v'shecher, he was allowed to put water or beer into these casks that once held wine, stam yenam in it, why ushakim yayin mashkim, or he could put other, not only beer, he could put other drinks in there too, anything but wine, lefisha yayin pogem mosam. So it comes back to that rule of nosing tam lefgam. Wine, the blias of wine that come out into beer or come back into anything else I'm going to store. And if I store orange juice, I don't know, if anything in there, any other drink, it's gonna be a detrimental taste. If I store wine in those wine barrels, then the wine flavor of the yayin nesach will be actually be l'shvach for the wine that I'm storing it. But any other drink, it would be nosing tam lefgam. So the reason why he permitted beer is so it's nosing lefgam. But our case, it seems, and the consumer, and they're saying, the taste of wine in the scotch is not like taste of wine into beer lefgam. The taste of wine into the scotch is a nosing tam leshvach, because that's what they're doing, and that's how they're marketing it as, for a better tasting scotch.
Well, you're nosing tam lefgam after 24 hours. We don't consider it doesn't hurt. It's a blanket rule.
Right.
After 24 hours, it's considered to be not
right.
A positive effect.
So we said that was source 4 that said that was for every other bliss except wine. That's what that was the shach that we saw in source 4. So so we said there's a problem of kavish kumavushal, and we said that it's going to transmit a taste into the scotch. We thought maybe it won't be a problem because maybe all the takana was on actual wine, but not blios of wine, and that was the Mishnah's halachos, but no one else seemed to say that. And then we thought, oh, it's after 24 hours, nosin tam lefgam, so that's not going to, but wine is actually, can still give off nosin tam leshvach after 24 hours. But it can only do nosin tam leshvach, we're saying, into wine. If it goes into other drinks, then it is nosin tam lefgam, like a beer or a water. However, when it goes into scotch, we're saying it's a nosin tam leshvach, because that's why they're doing it. Okay, so we have a problem with the scotch. So how can you get rid of this problem? You can get rid of the problem by saying maybe the tam can be mevatel. We know that if a tam goes in and there is a certain percentage, if a pork chop falls into my chalent and I remove the pork chop, still I have tam of the pork chop, there was heat transferred into my chalent. How if my chalent was 60 times, the volume of the pork chop, then I can still eat my, it was mevatel the tam of the pork chop, and I can eat my chalent. So maybe we could, there's a certain volume that we can mevatel the taste of the wine halachically. It is bidi eved, correct, you can't. So there is, what we're not going to talk, ein mevatlin iser lechatchila, but that's not, we're not doing it, a non-Jew is doing it, and they're doing it basically for their customers and not really for me, and then therefore I can benefit. So that, but an excellent question.
Is this min b'mina or it's not min
b'mina? I would say this is not min b'mina. This is not min b'mina. Right, because if it's min b'mina, right, there won't be a conflict. You need the conflict to it, for it to overcome the taste. So there's actually, which I didn't know before, maybe I might have heard in the past, but I forgot about, we're going to come up with a percentage that might be able to help us. Because it's going to be that every other foods, right, really you're going to need shishim neged the tam to be mevetel the tam. Wine is going to be a special category that maybe all you need is sheish, not shishim. Maybe all you need is 6 times a volume to overcome the taste of the wine. We're going to see they're going to explain it. The Rashba is going to explain that wine is an object that is easily loses the shame of the wine. Like, so if I have below mina, shaloba mina. So if I have, orange juice, it doesn't have 60 times, and the Orla you need 200 times. So if it doesn't have 200, it still has the shame Orla. It didn't lose it. But we're going to see with wine that if something has, if I have six times water to the wine, it loses the shame wine. It's no longer called wine. It very easily loses its name, and therefore it could be mevatel, not in a ratio of 1 to 60, 1 to 6. And we'll see a Gemara.
Why is it interesting to you? I mean, because, I mean,
if you can say, if
I'm an expert on scotch, I drink less than you do.
Right.
And if you like that, a barrel full of wine and a little bit that's sucked into the sides. Okay. It's probably 10,000 to 1.
Okay, so we're gonna see. You're totally right. So there, it's you so don't. You're gonna see. We're gonna see. Excellent, because we're gonna see completely against what you intuited in source 15 that we're gonna say that not only does the volume of scotch, it's a 500-liter barrel, and we're gonna and someone measured. Someone, we can do it right now. We can look at source 15. Someone measured a barrel calculator. Took a barrel. They, you know, from Spain and sherry oak and measured it. And he measured the following thing. He measured the volume inside, and it was 500. It was supposed to be a 500 liter. It was very close. 511 liters inside this barrel. It was very accurate. And then he measured how much is on the outside. What's the outside measurement? And that was 647. So he realized that these oak barrels, they're not very, are very, these kids are very, very thick. The walls of these sherry oak casks are very thick. So, no, but we don't. We don't. Halacha does not. So halacha assumes that the bleos are now infused throughout the whole volume, excellent, of the wall, and doesn't count just the wood in there. And it's not the air pockets where the bleos go in the wall, but it's the volume of the walls. So if you minus the two, you see that the volume of the wall is actually 135. 135 to into the volume inside of 511. Doesn't even come to 1/6. So sure, first of all, none of the pots that we use, it's a rule that you should know, none of our pots in our kitchens have a volume of 60 inside to the walls of our pot. That means if you took a fleishik, you know, if you took a fleishik pot that you just cooked within 24 hours, and then you made, so now fleishik, it gets infused, we say within the whole walls of that pot. So now you have a ben yomo, a freshly infused pot of meat bleos. If you then cook macaroni and cheese within 24 hours in that pot, we say the whole volume comes out. Let's say I filled it up. Even I filled it up to the very top. I made a soup, a dairy soup, you know, up to the top. I don't have 60. That's not enough to take all the volume of the walls of the pot and be mavata the thing. And therefore, that food would be,
It's I mean, because my intuition is like his, that there's not 100 liters in that thing. It's sort of assumed. 2 liters.
Right. Now, there are
sort of assumed, because if it's the same day, we assume it's all set. Only if it's after 24 hours.
We say that the whole volume of the walls gets infused. That's how Yoredeo works. That is now infused with about volume. What? Not back then. You need a space age thin maybe material that none of us have. That's gonna maybe to create such a pot that doesn't have six feet.
Well, I think we're getting off of the main point.
100% of its volume. Volume, yes. That's how we. Look, this whole concept, if you ask the scientist, I cook meat, right, into my metal pot, right? Is anybody scientist going to say that there's meat bleos in this pot that's infusing into my macaroni? If I cook a macaroni and cheese in a brand new pot, or I cook it in a pot that once had a stew in it, but I totally cleaned it, they're not going to say that those things taste any different. But Yoredea says that there were bleos that went into the wall and bleos that came out within 24 hours. Nosin tam l'shvach to aser that food. That's how our halacha Yoredea works. Yeah.
That he talked to engineers and to scientists, and they told him that the intermolecular spaces in stainless steel and in any metal basically are too small for any kind of flavor to enter. And he felt that la halacha, that means there's no such thing as bleos.
Okay, you're going to get rid of all of
He came up with a svara for why you still have to. He says it's an assay
to
act this way.
Pot,
yeah.
To do a gullah on the pot. And that all the, historically, what they were, the problem was that they didn't have a good way of cleaning the pot.
Right.
So they were talking about really what was the Leah, but a
circle. Yeah. I think they're talking metaphysically. Look, if I walk into a room, you're a Kohen. You walk into a room and there's a dead body here. A scientist, you're Matami. No scientist is going to measure tuma, you know, in you from the from taking one step in to one step out. But you're Matame.
But
so here the same thing.
And Bliyah of Tom.
And Tom.
Okay. It's a...
Okay.
Which,
but that's...
Let's get agree that a shared cast does have a Bliyah.
It does have a Bliyah.
Otherwise,
Tom. And
wouldn't use shared cast.
Right. So we'll see here, and this is going to be... I already jumped ahead, because we're going to say that this is not, doesn't have shishim, which is... But even doesn't even have the volume of the scotch, doesn't even have sheish to offset... the blios of the wine, and that's going to be a very big problem. But let's go through the Gemaras, because this was something which I didn't know, that wine could be mevatel, not in shishim, but the tam of wine could be mevatel, or wine itself could be mevatel in if it falls into six times its volume of a water, so or possibly another liquid, and that will be a machlokas. So we'll see. So let's see source number 7. So this is Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So the case was base kosos. There are two cups. Echad shel chulin ve'echad shel truma. Umazgin ve'irev zebazeh. So mezigas ha-kos, they know from another Gemara, the proportion normally they had the wine was concentrated wine. And they needed to dilute the wine to make it drinkable. The ratio was one part concentrated wine to three parts water. That's the standard ratio in the Gemara of how you dilute and make concentrated wine to make it drinkable. So you have two cups. Each one has one part wine, but one part wine chulin, one part wine truma, and then you add three parts water to each cup. Okay. And then there's the Gemara is saying this, and this I haven't looked inside completely, but it's roen et saheta ki ilu eno. We're going to look at the part, so what do you have in these mixture? You have one part yayin shel truma, you have one part of yayin shel chulin, and then you're going to have six parts of water, because this was one in three, and this was one in three, okay? So now they're going to take this one, which is the one of chulin, right? Roin etaheta kilu eino. We're going to discard that. This is not going to go into our calculation. And then what are you left? You're left with one of truma and six of water. And they're saying, the Gemara says, that's enough. And that six parts water is enough to be mevatel, that one part of wine shell truma. Yes?
Are we talking about apples and oranges here? In one case, you're talking about him. In one case, you're talking about beetle of a Tom.
Okay.
They're two different animals.
Okay. No? So here, okay, excellent, excellent. But we want to say, right, so
It's not wine anymore. It's not wine anymore. That's one thing.
Okay, right.
It's not the same thing as
excellent. So we're going to get to it. Rav Moshe is going to say that once it's not called, because this was a concept called the Vida Lataima, where I'm jumping ahead also, but I think that's what you're talking about. If you have, so it's not wine there, but you're having the taste, right? You're having the, and that's meaning you can have things that are in a high percentage. If one part of cumin, I put cumin into my stew, right? I have 60 times more food than the cumin, but if I still taste the cumin, it's called a vida lataima, and you still have that residual taste, it's still usher, even if I have 60 negatives. So you're saying, it's right. So Rav Moshe said somehow that works for a be'en, or it works for cumin, because you put, you know, the cumin there. The cumin doesn't lose its shame, cumin. The cumin is there, and you still taste it, even if it's, so therefore that stew is going to be usher, you know, as long as you can taste the cumin, because you put cumin in it. Rav Moshe says that once you put wine in it, and there's six parts of volume more than the wine, it loses the shame wine. That was step one. And he makes that jump. He says, once it's not called yayin nesach anymore, because it's not yayin. It's not yet. So there's a taste of something, but he's going to call it kiyura. He calls it acid. It's ascorbic. You're tasting ascorbic acid. taste in your scotch infused. But it's no longer time of Yain Nesech. It's a time of something else called Ura Acid. So that's how he's going to allow it. Possibly allow it. He was dealing, if someone ever quotes, you hear someone quote Rav Moshe, it really is not the case we're talking about, but in the 1950s, Rabbi Teitz looked into this issue and said there was something called blended whiskeys, which is not what I'm going to talk about, where they actually were able to take, the producers were taking whiskey and actually were putting wine, actual wine, not soaking it in, putting up to 2.5% of wine in their whiskey, as one of the ingredients in their whiskey. So Rav Moshe was matir, right, that whiskey, because he said, even though you don't have 60-1, right, he says wine, all you need is 6-1, and 2.5% is below the 6-1, and therefore you can still drink that whiskey. But with us, it's going to be worse, because here we're talking about the time in the walls going in, and we just said that you don't have 6 times the volume of scotch against these thick oak. So it's almost counterintuitive. You put actual wine in. Right, it was 2.5%. That was able to to counter, and the scotch was able to counter out the whiskey was able to counter out the wine, but not the wine. But if you take, but here you have the scotch, and it is not enough, because it's not 6 times the volume of the walls, and we're gonna need 6 times the volume of the walls. Possibly, we are gonna get to a cooler.
That's the one that it's bolea throughout,
yes,
the entire depth, and that's what we thickness,
right,
of the thing.
That's what we, right. So we're assuming that the tom goes into the whole volume of the pot, and we're assuming the whole volume comes back into it, and you need the volume. And halacha works it. Since we don't know, we're going to assume worst case scenario in halacha, and that's how psak, how the psak in your day works. So that was a gemara. Now this gemara is the Riven and the Eight. The Riven, the Rihazokain, look, learn it, like... I'm sorry, what?
They lose all the wood. The wine,
they don't lose that much.
They lose all the wood.
Back into the whiskey.
They're losing more than a sixth of everything they put into the cask.
Just taste.
Yeah, no. They say they lose maybe half of 1%, they said, within it. But the
why don't we use that percent?
Wait a second. If you know that's how much goes through, but taste, that we're good back. Interesting. But I think somehow taste goes through the whole volume of the thing. It's going to be polite the thing. We're saying it can. It can be too. Why not? Why is it can? It can. Okay. So then the Rive and the Riazukin learned that Gemara, like I just said, that it was 2 equal cups of wine.
Definition. Yeah. Even though it's not,
something as porous or as metal,
is the equivalent of a sponge.
How can that be? How can you say a wall made of a sponge is equal to a wall made of
a metal? Right.
It doesn't seem to. But
that's how you do every day. If you asked, if you called your local Orthodox rabbi and said, "Rabbi, I just did milchik in my fleishik pot," and he'll work out the thing. He says you don't have 60 times the volume. If it's within 24, it was later than 24 hours, we'll say it's nosin tam lifgam, and you can still eat that food. If it was within it, we'll say the volume of your metal pot, the total volume, was more than a 60th of the food. You don't have enough food there to be mevatel. You don't have 60 times the food in your metal pot, in the hollow part of the metal pot, to take the tom from that came off in the metal pot. And it's,
Let me defend him. Everybody knows it's not the whole volume is wine. But the postkin didn't want to start making calculations.
Because you don't know.
Is it 1%, 10%, 30% soaked in? So therefore they said, this is our...
No,
What you're saying is Tom Kika, right? Tom Kika, is that
right.
Essentially. So the whole, all the wood is usher.
Mm-hmm. Full of Tom. It's full of Tom.
אבל so, יש שאלה אחרת, אלף, yeah. אני מסכים לשאלה הזאת, okay. אבל בנוסף לזה, הרי לא מדובר פה על איסור כמו איסור של בשר וחלב ודברים כאלה,
okay.
מדובר פה על משהו שגזרו אותו בגלל החיתון.
Right.
בסוף שותים פה וויסקי.
Right, excellent. That was the Mishnah Halachas. Right, that was the Mishnah Halachas. That was number three. That was Rav Amad and Asher Klein. He said, you're drinking whiskey, you're not drinking wine, and therefore it was the... Right. However, just like... Look, if I eat my chalent, they ossered pork. They didn't osser, but I'm eating a chalent. I'm not eating pork. But my chalent has the tam of pork, and the tam of pork is osser also. And therefore, you're drinking scotch, not wine. But the scotch has the tam of wine. So you are drinking tam of wine. And that, they're going to say, is going to be is osser.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right.
Okay, so it right. But once they said it right. So then you'll have to say that they made it into a chefsa shel isra. The reason might have been because of chasnus, to interact. But once they did, that was the reason, that's the tam. But once they did it, this became a chefsa shel isra, and now you're having a tam of a chefsa shel isra. So I guess something along those lines. However, just to quote the Ridvan, the Ramban, I actually have to say that actually the two sizes of the cups where one was large and small, and that's actually, you do need, even for wine, you need 1/60. However, if you looked on Source 10, Shulchan Aruch is going to take the Makel view that wine, kamiyehei b'mayim, v'yebehem kidei livata tam hayayin, shisha chalakim kenegda. So we'll take it, even though it's a machlokas rishonim, we're going to take the cooler side and say wine can be mevatel in six. The Rashba, we saw already outside, explained wine, we're saying, is different because wine loses its status and is referred to as kiyuha when it's mixed into something six times its volume. The Igros Moshe, we mentioned again, we did a lot of those this time, mentioned, oh, but what about Avida Lataima? Isn't it like a cumin? Isn't it just like a spice? And we're still tasting it. So even though we have six times it, it still should be, it's put in there for taste, and it should be, even if you have six times, it should still be usur. But he said, no, once it's called kiyuha, then what you're tasting is acid. You're not tasting an isser of yayin, and we have to give it a little bit more thought. But that was Rav Moshe why said why it's not a problem. Why you're not. It's cumin gives a taste. You'd be usser, but this, but the, these blios maybe would be of wine, would still be good if you had enough to be mevatel the shame wine. Really, and then someone else wanted to say, well, there's no problem with Vida Lataimba, because maybe that's only cumin, which is a be'en. I put a be'en in my chalent, and I still taste it, even though I have 60 times more, that's going to be a problem. But just blios going in, that we're going to say is not... Yeah, so that was those, but that was okay. But let's say okay. So we're gonna go with the Makel thing that all you need is six times. The next machlokas between the Shach and the Taz also is not really gonna help us. We're gonna see, but is it only water? With like this Gemara could be mevatel in six times, could be mevatel wine, or is it any? That's the opinion of the Shach, or can it be any liquid? Can in six times the volume of wine can knock down the status of wine, and we're going to say that most people are going to hold like the Taz. It's going to be okay. So those are two possible things that look. Scotch, scotch is not water, but it's okay. You don't need water, and you don't need 60 times like the Ramban said. All you need is six. So now I was coming up to the barrel calculator, and I was very excited. All you need is six times. The volume of the walls. Oh, surely a barrel has six times the volume of the wall. And then I got to Source 15, which is the barrel calculator, and I said, we don't even have six times. So we can't be mevatel, the tam that is a blios of sherry that are in the walls of the cask. So what can you do?
But that's assuming that it's wine.
Sherry is wine.
The status of whatever that liquid is inside the barrel is still
it's still wine.
It's still wine, correct? Because we don't have six times more to it to take away the status.
But you have six times more wood than you do have liquid in there.
Six times volume.
It goes into that whole volume. You would need what's inside, what's it being covered with. To dilute it. So then, here's where we can have maybe a kula. But it's not going to be so much of a kula because even though some heavy hitters on the kula side, most poskim hold more like the chumra side. And here it is. There was this concept of kavush kumavushal that we said that there's a transference of taste not only when you heat something to, with heat and the two objects that you eat transfer taste, but even just things are soaking. So here's the question. We said if I cook meat in this pot, so we said the whole volume of the walls are now infused with meat blio, so meat taste. What happens if I had just something soaking in the walls of a pot? So my first thing was kavush kumavushal, just like cooking goes through the entire width and volume of the walls, so to kavush is now going, that's what we were saying, is going to go through the whole walls. And that's, however, they say, yes, kavush is kumavushal to transfer taste, but there's a difference. And here's where we're going to see that. It doesn't go through the whole thickness of the wall. It goes something only on the inner lining called the kadei klipa. It's only on the inner, like, thumbnail lining, some people are going to say. So then, if all you have is the taste of sherry that sat there for a number of years into the walls of the oak cask, but it only, with kavush, you can only get a transfer of taste up to kadei klipa. You can't get it. It's kimavasho like it transfers taste, but it's not bishul mamish. Bishul mamish will go through the whole width of the whole wall of the pot or the cat. But kavush will transfer taste, but it's kid, and that's how it's kid, but it only goes up a kadei klipa. Then if it's only a kadei klipa, surely you have six. And we're going to say you even have shishim. So, you know, it would be... So if you held, according to the ones that say... and there was, you know, that was source... source 16. It was this. The Taz says, Sagalei beklipa sakli. When you're dealing with something which is kavush, it only goes up to the klipa. And who's on his side? The Chacham Tzvi, the Machne Ephraim, the Chazon Ish. I mentioned some other people. So there are people that say it's only absorbed, the sherry only goes into a kadei klipa. So you put the scotch there and you have six times, the blios come out, you have six, you probably even have 60 times scotch just connected to the klipa of the sherry that was absorbed in the klipa of the cask, and you're golden. However, the shach, and this is how we say, when I highlighted in 17, this is the accepted halacha, because this is the prima gadim. And the chachmas adam, he says that take kavush kumavashel more literally, and just like bishul goes through the whole width of the wall of the kli, so do this kavush go through the whole wall of the whole kli, and therefore you're not going to have even 6-1. Yes.
Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish are matir.
Okay. No, Rav Moshe is not matir. Rav Moshe was matir with 2.5 when he added actual wine. But even Rav Moshe says you need 6, and we're saying you don't have 6. So Rav Moshe would not matir this case. He was only matir when they put, Rabbi Teit said, when you actually added 2.5% wine to the his blended whiskey, his whiskey, and therefore he was matir it. But he wouldn't be, possibly Rav Moshe wouldn't be matir our case because you don't have the 6.
So that halacha bichlal isn't chal at Chashmonaim.
Right, so there. So therefore, if you look at the OU and the CRC, they say, I'll read it, the OU does not permit sherry cask whiskies to be served by the caterers or at their restaurants. However, unflavored whiskey that is not labeled, as long as it doesn't say on the label, sherry cask and mint, you know, sherry cask, there's no reason to assume that it was kavush in a sherry cask, and that's permitted. The same thing with the CRC is that the source 20 is that scotch is permitted.
Most of them aren't on the sherry cask?
Yeah, it's only the ones that are going to be labeled. They're going to say, you're going to wording that says double or triple finish, double or triple mature, dual cask or finish. There are some that would take it in regular bourbon casks, which is not wine, and then only at the end take it all and do a finishing in a sherry. But then it's more than 24 hours, so words like that would be a problem too. But ones, we'll see that the ones that say, if it doesn't say double or triple mature, it doesn't say dual caskets or finished, it doesn't say French cask, Mandarina finished, port, Sortrin, or sherry, then you can assume, because that's an advertising thing and they want to do it, you assume that they're not using it. And as long as it doesn't say those words, you pick up a thing of scotch and it doesn't say, you know, aged in sherry cask, you know, double finished or something like that, then they're saying it probably wasn't. And you're okay to drink that. That's the CRC policy, or the OU policy, and you're okay. However, I brought with me the CRC and the Star K has a list. They did the work. They did the homework. They spoke to these all these different, it's a number of pages, all these different, you know, 100 different scotch companies, and they asked them, you know, and they found out which ones were aged in the, and which weren't, and therefore it says that if they have recommended scotches that has even a stricter standard, they've already did their homework, and they know that it doesn't have any contact with wine or wine casks. The article also says that there's less of a problem with blended whiskeys, because blended whiskeys now, this was only a problem when you're saying all the scotch came from this one barrel, and the scotch didn't have six times the amount of bleos in the width of the cask. If you only go with Klipa, then even that is not a problem. If you do Klipa, then you can drink any scotch, because it doesn't. I don't care if you took a, you know, sherry for, you know, for X amount of years, and you put scotch for 21 years. It doesn't make a difference. The sherry was only in the Klipa and the scotch, and you can drink it. Problem is that we paskin like the Shach. We say that even Kavas Kumavushu goes through the whole width. So you're going to need six times more. Blended whiskeys come from 40 different, you know, different whiskeys.
But we saw the Lachatkhila issue.
Well, we said, but we're saying that's they're doing it. It's not that we're not allowed to be Mavatel, this Isser Lachatkhila. But that a non-Jew is allowed to do it and is doing it for their customers. And therefore, I can have it. And they said blended Scotch whiskeys are taking it. So even if, you know, one of those things came from something that had sherry, there's plenty of other scotch there that's being put all pooled together that didn't come from the sherry, and you're definitely going to have 6-1. However, I ended off, there is a concept of chanan, and we're going to say which raised a possible problem, but we're going to say it's not a problem. But I understand if you're saying the amount of width in the sherry cask, you take that scotch along with all the other scotch, it's definitely enough scotch to overcome the width of the width of the barrel. But however, if you wanted to say that whole scotch there, that whole 500 liters now got infused with taste, do I need six times just the width of the cask, or now do I need six times the 500 liters? And you know that's called chanan. So do you know, chaticha nasa nevela. This chaticha is like now becomes the nevela. That 500 liters now infused. Now I need 60 times, or now just six times the 500 liters. That would be much worse than just six times just the klipa, but the width of the barrel. So we're gonna say we're not worried. Chanan, there is concepts like that, definitely by basa b'chalav. The question is a machal, and that's how. Everyone paskins, but even Sfaradim don't paskin. On Chanan is only by Basa B'chalav, not by Shar Isurim. However, Ashkenazim say, even though it's by Shar Isurim, there are some, I said there's a Ran that says it doesn't apply, Chanan doesn't apply to Isuri Durabanan. So since this is in Issa Durabanan, we're only going to take the width of the oak against all the blended scotch. We're not going to look at this one thing is 500 liters that we're going to need to be mavatel. Also, the Ramah says chanan is a problem of when something falls into food, and then you take a kazais of that food, you're going to need 60 times that food. But liquids, maybe you don't say, it's still the original isser that you're going to have to be mavatel, and it doesn't create this new 500 liter isser because it's a liquid. You could be more makel. He said makel and hefset gol. Igros Moshe said even without a hefset gol. The Rashba, again, this is another made a thing, a difference between blios and something which is actual mamish. Wine which is batul. Oh, he says wine which is batul b'shesh, something else. Wine which is batul b'shesh might not be subject to, you know, to chanan. So for all those reasons, that we'll say that blended whiskeys are going to be fine. Any whiskey, according to the CRC and the Star K, that doesn't say, finished or doesn't mention, port in the, you know, sherry, doesn't use words like double or triple matured, dual cask or finish, sherry cask, and it doesn't say it, we'll assume it doesn't have it, and it's okay. And but if it does say it, then it seems like the heter you would have to rely on would be the Taz, which said it can be all you need is six times the keneged the klipa, and but since we paskin like the Shach, where you need six times the whole volume, that's why the OU and the CRC and the and the Starkey were not in favor of drinking those types of scotches. There is a list here, if anybody wanted to look up, which I printed out, that I said those companies did the, and they have approved or not approved from different scotches.
So you have this paradox where wine
yes.
was made only by Jews and whiskey only by Goyim.
I don't say that again. Wine,
wine. Oh, only Jews. You can't have a guy in the winery.
Correct. Wine.
Now
right.
you can't have a Jew
in the distillery because then it'll be right. So that's why you're not going to have a hechsher. You'll never have a hechsher on these. Right. And no hechsher. When they put a hechsher on it, every ingredient has to be 100% kosher. For the OU to put a hechsher on. The hechsher would never say, oh, you're making something, no, and it's only, six, you know, and it has less than a 60th, we'll put the OU symbol on it, and we'll allow you to sell, sell it, and you know, because since it's Mavata, with some bitter. When you see an OU, it means that 100% of the ingredients are kosher, even, you know, it doesn't mean that there is less than a 60th, you know, not even, there's no non-kosher ingredients in it. There's no bittel lechatchila in it. But that's, you're right. If they put, you could, it would be more of a problem to have a hechsher on it, because then it's being made for Jews, and then there comes into a problem of bittel iser lechatchila. But once you don't have the hechsher on it, then it's being made for the non-Jews, and then the Jews could participate a little bit from it.
That's right.
Right. No, so it's not kosher when if it has a hechsher. That's what you were saying. Yes.
So correct. Whiskey correct. From a distillery that,
yeah.
that boycotts Israel is dafka more kosher.